Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Bill Dodgemore-Smith, your host this evening for 1 hour of Lehigh Valley Discourse. And this evening it's sort of a complimentary program to the program we did on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on Monday evening, covering the Lehigh Valley Beer Week that begins this coming Saturday. Well, tonight we're not covering the Beer Week itself, but what we are covering is the exploding craft beer industry right here in the Lehigh Valley and statewide and nationally, but we're focusing what's happening here in the Lehigh Valley. And I have four esteemed guests in the studio with me, and let me quickly go through the guests and then I'll ask them to introduce themselves in a little bit more length. We have Jeff Fegley as co-owner of Fegley's Brew Works. We have Chris Bowen, who's the president of Lehigh Valley Beer Week and beer historian and brewer and beer writer. We have Troy Renard, who is the current president of the Lehigh Valley Brewers Guild and the owner of Two Rivers Brewing. And we have Shay McCauley, who's the Lehigh County sales manager for Shangi's Beer Distributor. Welcome, all of you. And Chris, let's start with you. And if you'd like to just say a few more words about your brewing background and your brewing industry background.
Sure. It's been a long 12 years is kind of a long, strange trip, I call it. I've been in every part of the beer industry, from beer historian to writer to museum creator, curator of a current exhibit downtown Bethlehem, traveled around the world, made a film about beer, and recently took a position in Bucks County as a head brewer and director of production at Great Barnbury. So I've been all around the beer glass, and here I am.
Indeed, and you're freshly back from Belfast from giving a talk on beer, I believe.
Yes, correct.
All right, so thank you for taking time out, especially with the Beer Week beginning in very, very shortly, in less than 48 hours. Troy, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I guess I'm a jack of all trades, master of none in beer. I was a beer enthusiast right at the beginning of craft beer, back when Pete's Wicked Ale and Anchor Steam were like the best you could get, and did some home brewing in the 90s and just loved going to craft beer bars. And then in 2011, my wife and I and our friends Brad and Judy Nelson bought the old Mount Vernon Hotel in Easton and turned it into a brew pub.
And that was what, about 4 years ago?
Yeah, we've been open for a little over four years as a restaurant and been brewing for about a year and three quarters.
Okay, thank you. Shay.
Thank you. So my history with craft beer in the area, I managed a craft restaurant, Taps Tavern, just up until about a year ago when I joined the sales force with Shangi's. So I represent Shangi's Wholesale in Lehigh County, consider myself a beer advocate for distributors, restaurants, bars, making sure I can bring them the newest and the best products that we have to offer.
And Shangi's, of course, has been leading the sales of craft beers for, 30 years or so,
yes,
right, since the beginning.
And since Nima started this company with Sierra Nevada, it's grown. It's incredible what he's done with this company.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Yeah.
And Jeff.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on. I've been in the beer scene since 1998, so it's crazy to think it's going to be almost 20 years. It's 19 years next month. I have to say, I first started drinking what I called craft back in my college days. We went from drinking Schlitz and then to drinking Yingling Lager, and Yingling was the craft back then. And it's great to see they're still part of this craft world as well. Then in 2007, we opened the Allentown Brew Works, our second brewery location. And we're coming up on our 10th anniversary there as well. So I've been doing beer for a while.
Yeah, congratulations. So you've been at the forefront, I guess. You and Weyerbacher's were the first two craft breweries here in the Lehigh Valley. And great to see you're surviving and doing well in what was viewed as a difficult industry at that time. And lots of businesses went down the tube. So really good.
Thank you.
Really good that you've survived here. And just before we move further into the program, in full disclosure, I should mention that both Fegley's and Troy, both of their businesses provide underwriting support to programming here on WDIY. So we are thankful for that. All right.
It's the right thing to do.
Exactly. That actually is a part even one of the frequent characteristics of the craft brewing industry. The craft brewers tend to be very community-oriented and support things like community public radio. It's all part of doing good in the community. So, but we thank you for it.
And I think you know, certainly Jeff has done it, and we've done it with our business. Community is such a big part of what we do. Not only having community events, but we've taken old buildings, you know, that were abandoned by, you know, other businesses, and refurbished them and made them useful in our communities.
Right. And so you've done that in downtown Easton. You've done that both in Bethlehem and in Allentown. So, yeah, and that's certainly a big economic and social benefit to the area, without a doubt.
I just would add to that, it's not only the buildings, but it's the community. I've seen it firsthand start in, you know, in Bethlehem specifically, in downtown, when in 1998, when the Fegley started there. There was nothing going on too much in downtown, and you fast forward, you know, 18 years, and look where we are today. And I know the same thing's happening in Easton, and now in Allentown as well. So, breweries in communities are always a good idea.
Yep, absolutely. And beer promotes community, no doubt there. Troy, you didn't mention the Lehigh Valley Beer Guild, of which you are the current president, and it just formed last year, I think, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. We were shooting a video a little over a year ago to promote Lehigh Valley Beer Week, and specifically the brewers got together and ran a bus trip during Beer Week to go to all the Lehigh Valley breweries. And as we were shooting that video, we were sitting around afterwards, of course, enjoying a couple beers, and we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if the brewers could get together regularly and socialize and exchange ideas? And so it was a couple months after that, in April, that we had our first meeting of the Brewers Guild, and now we're in the final part of becoming an actual trade organization, 501c6, and we have a board of directors, and we have monthly meetings and minutes and all that good stuff. And, you know, our purpose is twofold. Like we originally set out to do, we wanted to provide a forum for brewers to get together and socialize and exchange ideas. But we also wanted to be a vehicle to promote Lehigh Valley craft beer, because we really feel that our breweries, we have 10 breweries and a meadery in the Lehigh Valley, and we all do different things. We all have our unique stamp on beer. Our products are different enough that you can really enjoy a wide range of styles, flavors, everything.
And you collaborate, which is another, I think, feature of this industry. You're not, you know, competitive, you're collaborative, and you're helping the new guys who've come on the blog recently.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry, Troy, I just want to add that I'm really happy that guild was formed, because back in 98, when we first opened, to get advice, it was picking up a call and picking up the phone and calling another brewery, hoping that they would pick up if they weren't too busy, and answer questions and kind of help each other out. And the camaraderie was always there, but the organization was not. And then through the years, we saw the PA brewers, you know, get together, and that kind of collapsed, and then it came back to life. And I think what this guild does is it really offers that forum where they can get together, share those ideas, and help each other out. And it's a lot more organized than, you know, it was back in the 90s.
And I've got to say, hats off to Jeff and Rich Fegley, and also Chris Wilson and Dan Weyerbach. And, you know, their example was kind of, I would say, the inspiration for the guild, because when I started working on the Two Rivers project, you know, I'm not very shy, so I went to all of them.
We've noticed.
I went to all of them and asked for advice, and they were very generous with giving us advice and giving us assistance in whatever way they could. And you know, kind of one of my ideas with helping to form the guild was that's my way to give back.
Right, and there's all the new guys coming on the block in the last couple of years who are benefiting from that also.
Four new breweries this year.
Yep, we'll get to that in just a moment. But look, just to set the stage, there's a lot of terminology out there. Microbrewery, nanobrewery, craft brewery, artisanal ales, brew pub, tap room. But just try and put a few boundaries on us and tell us which terms are actual strict legal definitions and others are just sort of broad somewhat vague marketing terms. Anyone want to jump in?
Sure. Well, let me even take it a step back. You know, a lot of the brewing movement in the Lehigh Valley also started out from home brewing. And that's the nature kind of the backbone of the craft beer movement. Even on the West Coast, a lot of those companies started out exactly the way, you know, we have here has started out home brewing. And just recently an article in the Morning Call about that definition and how Lehigh Valley homebrewers has expanded. As we sit here tonight around the table, we're connected all together because we've either shared brewers or brewed with each other. And so there is that heavy connection. But by definition, you know, the nano brewing, which is a term that was more widely used maybe in the 90s or the early days, is considered under 3.5 barrels, which is a very small amount, about 110 gallons or so at a time. We had Hijinks in Allentown start out as a one-barrel brewery, as an example.
So they were that's
31 level gallons at a time. That's a lot of blood and sweat and tears into what they wanted to produce. But now I believe they're up to 15 barrels or something
right.
like
so
that.
So they're a microbrewery now, right?
Yeah, yeah. They made the switch from nano to micro. But by definition, nano brewery is that size. And then if anyone wants else to jump in on the next size, which would be craft brewing and microbrewing.
So is a microbrewery can also be a craft brewery, right? There's no craft has nothing to do with size. It's more to do with the type of beers.
Correct. It's more of a definition on annual output and brewing length, which means the size of kettles that you're producing from. A lot of breweries around the area, at least the newer startups, are less than 10 barrels. So you have, a few that are 3.5, some that are 5. I'm brewing now on a 7-barrel. I think
we're on a 7-barrel.
You're 7-barrel as well.
We're 15.
You're 15. So.
And 5-barrel was the nominal, the borderline between a nano and a micro brewery.
Yeah, about that size. Yeah.
Okay, so you're into that level. Now, just to put on scale, say the output, say, from Samuel Adams in Breinigsville, that classed as a regional brewery.
Yeah, just, they're a large regional brewery.
Right.
I believe that they have a 200-barrel brewery, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
and they run that,
times.
You know, 7 days a week. So they make a lot of beer out in Fogelsville and Boston
right.
and whatnot.
Just trying to get benchmarks on. So
sure.
Each end of it, so maybe a factor sort of 30 or so difference between the small nano brewery and the scale that they're producing on. Not the overall output, but the actual size of the
correct.
Brewery.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, got an idea. And they class as a regional brewery. Does that, and I think Weyerbacher's also is described as a regional brewery. Does that have any sort of legal definition, or that's just...
I think the Brewers Association is what sets those standards. I don't think that there's necessarily a legal definition. I wouldn't be surprised if they're slowly defining those at the state level anyway for taxation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're doing that. But I don't think currently there is a true legal definition of the terminology here.
Okay, so it's more of a trade definition than a legal definition.
Yeah, it's a dynamic business. This sort of second or rebirth of the craft brewing movement. I mean, the Brewers Association located out in Boulder. I mean, the standards or the benchmarks, 25 years ago are very, very different, and they need to be further defined. So they are the the guiding voice, if you will, for the craft beer movement, the Brewers Association, and they're in Boulder. So I think most everyone here is a member of that organization, but they've set some of the guidelines as
okay.
well.
Okay, and those guidelines have been evolving with time over
they
the
have,
last few
yeah.
years.
It's a bit of a moving target.
Okay. Now, someone describes a beer as an artisanal ale. Is that is there any definition there, or is that sort of one level more traditional or hands-on than craft? Or
well, traditionally, ale is the oldest drink made, from a historical standpoint. Lager style is roughly about 1830, 1840, although there's some definitions that are need to be further explained. But most of the beer on the craft beer movement, I would say 80% of it is produced as an ale, which is a warmer, top-fermented beer. A little bit easier to produce, less maturation and costs. So you can turn out in a professional brewery, you know, a batch of beer, you know, in about 10 to 14 days, whereas lager beers tend to take closer to 60 to 90 days, sometimes even longer.
But I think artisanal is more of a marketing thing than anything else.
Yeah, okay. And going in with the food movement as well and all the, okay, just adds an extra little bit of marketing cachet to the description. All right. Anything else we missed out description-wise? I think we've probably covered it pretty well there. So let's move on. And we last covered the local craft brewing industry. Sally Handlin covered it on this program, I think, 6 years ago. And over those last 6 years, we've seen incredible growth, which is why we're here tonight talking about it. But the industry has absolutely exponential growth over the last 6 years or so. Anyone to make comments on the size of that growth? And are we going to still continue growing at the rate it has been over the last few years?
So I actually, I think I was here in your studio for that.
You were indeed.
For that taping.
Yes, it was you and Nima and Chris Wilson.
And Chris Wilson, so with Weyerbacher as well. And it's been an incredible change. The in the last 6 years, the growth has been tremendous. I don't have the statistics, but I mean, you're seeing, you know, 20, 30% increases per year in these breweries. So, you know, do I think it's going to continue? Yes, I think it's going to, the growth is going to continue. Do I think there's going to be failures along the way for some of the startups? Yes, that as well. I think it's going to be, in my opinion, being local is going to be really important. It always has been. I think it's just becoming more obvious now because as the new breweries pop up, that core local area has this you know, synergy going on that the West Coast started years and years and years ago and has gone through many ups and downs. And I think the East Coast is really seeing it right now. And I don't think it's going to ever go away necessarily. I think it's just going to continue to evolve and change. And I think the larger craft is going to continue to step in where they can and with the acquisitions. And I think they'll survive too because of what they're doing now and they're diversifying their portfolios.
Good. Yeah, I mean, one statistic I saw for 2015, the craft beer market share nationally grew to 12.2%, which is pretty phenomenal. I mean, it's not that long ago. It was down at the 2 or 3% level, and now it's up over 12%. And there was a 12.8% growth in the craft market, in the craft beer sales in 2015 in a market that was basically flat. I mean, there was about a 0.2% increase in the overall market, but craft beer sales grew by 12.8%. So that's pretty remarkable.
And I think it'll continue to grow. I agree with Jeff. There are going to be some failures, but I think that most of those will be deserved failures because somebody opens up a craft brewery doesn't mean their product's really good. So,
right. Or even they know how to run a business.
Right. And right. I think, you know, it's going to be important to weed those out because nobody's helped by somebody producing bad beer.
Right.
Because our reputation as Lehigh Valley craft brewers is supported by each other. And, you know, if somebody new to craft beer goes to a brewery that's not producing good beer, they're going to say, oh, this craft beer is horrible. I'll never drink a craft beer again.
Yeah, so it's bad for the whole industry.
Right. So, you know, I think there will be corrections. I think one of the problems we're facing now, and I think maybe Shay might know more about this, is the amazing amount of SKUs and the confusion and trying to get shelf space for your beer.
Sure. Well, and, you know, considering, I think the community itself is so supportive of local breweries. Every restaurant or distributor I walk into, one of the first questions out of their mouths is, what's local? Because everything has a dedicated space or a dedicated line. But, I mean, Troy's correct. There more SKUs come up every single day, and you have to be able to compete. So, you know, going back to the failures, like Jeff was talking about, that's going to help with that competition. Any new breweries that are starting to open, they're going to have to make sure to have a product that's coming out that is something really great and really clean and really on top of their game if they want to get
on the level as some of the more established local breweries. Right.
Bottom line is getting more competitive for product, and that's pushing everyone's qualities even higher.
Right? And I don't think competition's a bad thing. Right. I think with more competition comes better product, and you know it's only going to keep getting better and better over time.
Have we seen any, have there been any breweries that have failed in the Lehigh Valley as yet?
Not recently.
Yeah. No.
I think we went through that first thing early on with Old Lehigh, Queen City.
Queen City.
Excuse me. Oh, yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's about the only one, yeah, and I'd even forgotten that. Okay.
That's a 90s thing.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll actually sort of go over some of the new breweries that have appeared over the last year or two as well, and just sort of assess the growth that we've seen on the brewery level, and then we'll talk about also the number of outlets, the number of bars, tap rooms, brew pubs, etc. that there are. Coming back right after a brief break.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org. Made a solemn vow. John Barleycorn was dead.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse, and a bit of music there from Traffic with John Barleycorn as appropriate music for tonight's discussion on the craft beer industry right here in the Lehigh Valley. I'm Bill Lutramon-Smith, and I'm joined in the studio by Jeff Fegley, Shay McCauley, Troy Raynard, and Chris Bowen. Four of us all clustered around three microphones here, so we've got a cozy studio here. Right, we've just begun talking about the overall growth in the Lehigh Valley, and one of the huge indicators of that is the number of new breweries that have appeared in the Lehigh Valley. And I look back when we did this program 6 years ago, and even going back to 5 years ago, even including Cutstown as part of the Lehigh Valley, we had three craft breweries. There was Weyerbacher, there were Fegley's, and there was Golden Avalanche out in Cutstown. And now I count roughly 15 breweries or so, with even a couple that have opened since the 1st of January this year, I think. And we had three open last year.
And one just about to open. I think they had to postpone their opening tomorrow, but Hop Hill is the newest brewery to open.
They were due to open on Saturday, right? And,
yeah.
But they're postponed?
They have for some reason. Yeah.
Okay.
Logistics or something.
And then there's another brand new one, I think. Is it Cave?
Cave's been around for a little bit, but they started actually selling beer last year. They're one of the four new ones in Lehigh and Northampton County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other one
last year.
And also a member of the Guild as well.
Yes.
Yeah, Brewers Guild. Mm-hmm.
So that you say they're one of the four new ones, and so that's for 2016. And the others would be Lost Tavern.
Bond Place Brewing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Yogi Brewing in Emmaus, and we had Jim as a guest here on Monday night.
And then in Bangor, PA, I know one of my former employees is working on a project, Bangor Trust Brewing, which should be opening shortly.
Mm-hmm. Ah. They're kind of following the same path that we did. They have the restaurant open now, and hoping to add the beer shortly.
And they're in Bangor or Nazareth? In Bangor.
In Bangor. Yep.
In Bangor. And the name?
Bangor Trust Brewing.
Interesting.
They're an old bank building.
That's exactly. I was about to ask that question.
And I'll take a shameless plug, because the newest brewery is Great Barn Brewery, which I'm brewing out of. It's only 8 miles from Easton in Kintnersville, which is just into Bucks County. And I'm brewing in an old barn.
All right. And are you selling? Is it?
Yes, we're opening a tap room in June, I believe. We have one hearing. We have a variance or two, but our tap room will be in downtown New Hope. And right now we will be hitting the beer festivals. We've signed up for the Philly Craft Beer Festival and a bunch of different bars and taverns in Bucks County.
All right. So that's already about five brand new ones there. Yeah, we mentioned Bonplace, Lost Tavern, and Yogi Brewing and Cave from last year. And then other ones that are fairly recent. There's a Red Castle Brewery up in Lee Hyden. I guess the other farm in Boyertown. That's relatively new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple of years.
A couple of years.
They've been around for a couple of years.
Yeah. Soakin' Creek Brewery and Brew Pub in Kutztown. There's Funk Brewery, of course, in Emmaus. Two Rivers, your brewery, mm-hmm. Troy. And Hijinks Brewing. So they've all been added in the last 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, Soul is opening a brewery in Easton and a tap room as well, or bottle shop, I believe, right downtown in downtown Easton.
Right.
Well.
And they
pretty exciting.
Their products are already available, brewed under contract by other brewers, but they'll have their own brewery in Easton,
they're in
right?
The process of building right now.
Wow, what a growth, huh? Yeah. So that's like a factor of six or so in the last 5 years, which is pretty amazing. I mean, there can't be any industry that's growing it.
Somebody out there likes beer.
Yeah. Well, I do my share.
I think we do too.
I'm sure we all do, right? The rate of growth we're having, is that special to the Lehigh Valley that we've got such a high rate of growth, or is that sort of mimicking what's happening in other similar size urban centers around the country?
So I'll chime in and just say that I think it's definitely unique to us here in PA. We're very fortunate. I think the Lehigh Valley getting that concentration it has right now is awesome. There's probably other municipalities that would wish they had the diversification that we are seeing with this new growth. Around the country, the urban cores have seen it before. Again, I think it's more out west. But I think you're going to see more and more. I know Iron Hill just made an announcement that they're going to be opening somewhere in Philadelphia. And there's been other, of course, there's several breweries in the Philly area. But I think you're going to see more and more in that urban core. I'm not sure what's happening in Pittsburgh. But again, I think the trend I see is the urban cores tend to have what people are calling the hipsters. It's young people, men and women, who are looking for the new creative, artsy districts and the new creative beers. And I think it just kind of goes hand in hand in the urban centers.
Well, I think what's happening too is you're seeing a generation that has now grown up with different choices besides, the mainstream beers that, my father and my grandfather drank, was typically American style lager. And like food, I mean, we ate food differently 50, 30 years ago. We didn't have the choices that we have today. So I think they go hand in hand. I think that, we're seeing that younger generation saying, I want it all. I want great food. I want great beer. I want great wine. I want great music. I like, want a great, experience. So there's definitely a demand for it. And we're, evidence of that. We're supplying it.
Right. Okay.
We wouldn't be building breweries and distributing. And, you walk into any grocery store now. Well, not every grocery store, but certainly a large percentage of them are starting to carry beer. That didn't happen just, 5 years ago. Today, they opened the first Wawa. That's right, Wawa, mm-hmm. where you can get a beer. That happened today. So
that's a Wawa that's a gas station, right?
What's that?
A Wawa that's a gas station.
I believe so.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So
when they have seating, for in cafe style and everything. But
so that was a change in the law that happened this last year, I think, right?
Yes.
That gas station, as long as they don't sell at the same checkout where you're paying for your gas, then they can sell beer now, right?
And I think, Governor Wolf's mentioned that part of the driver to change the laws were consumer demand. Mm-hmm. The consumers were really wanting better access to be able to buy alcohol in different places and on Sundays and all of that sort of thing. And that's, he heard you know, what the people were saying and, you know, was a driver in expanding those laws.
Which is really helping the industry grow, having more outlets for the beer, having it more visible. I know I used to go to Shangir's, and we'd, four of us would go, and we'd buy six or eight cases, and we'd be there in the parking lot sort of separating them out, mm-hmm. so we'd each get a six-pack or something. And, you know, sometimes we still do that, but you don't have to do that now. So there is much easier access to get a good choice through the supermarket. So that's one law change, and now even gas stations, and you can buy what... Even at Shangi's now, you're not obliged to sell complete cases, right? You can sell half cases, I think, 12s.
Yeah, that's correct. So all distributors with the correct licensing in Pennsylvania can start breaking open cases and doing them by the single bottle, by the six-pack. A few distributors have started installing draft lines because they can do growler fills.
Okay, so that's another aspect of the sales. So mm-hmm. So are you doing that at Shangi's? Are the growler sales now?
I know that NEMA will be starting construction in the near future. As far as all of the intimate details, I have to wait and see, like everybody else, to see exactly what he's going to do. I have a feeling we're going to have a lot more coolers going in. We're going to be doing a lot of variety and just allowing more options for the consumer to be able to mix and match different styles. It's going to help drive pricing for the consumer. Before, if you wanted to buy a case of Duchess for $100, that's not the case anymore. You can buy a four-pack for $15.
Yeah, right.
Just numbers off the top of my head. But
so you can now taste expensive, special beers that were prohibited before that you weren't going to buy a case
and
of.
And with draft lines being installed and growlers, it's going to become... Much more accessible.
By the way, for the average listener, maybe we should just define what a growler is.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's typically a 64-ounce or a 32-ounce container that you can pour into from a draft line and cap it.
So
the brewers in the room are going to want to go way more in depth with this one.
But basically 4 pints in a glass container. And one of the laws that changed, in fact, I think was at one stage you had to have a label growler from the particular brewery that was filling it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a basement with about a dozen growlers in there with different names on them. But now the law changed that you can, I believe you can refill any growler mm-hmm. in any bar now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's correct. And there's now there's even new, different packaging, to-go packaging coming out. We at Two Rivers have a crowler machine. So you get an empty can. It's a 32-ounce can. You fill it like a growler. And then we have a seaming machine that seams a top on top of the can. So it's just a big can to go. And I've also seen they're doing like a milk carton type to-go container as well. So there's all different sorts of packaging that's coming out to make mm-hmm. it easier for the consumer.
It's a 2-pint can. You fill it with beer from the tap,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets sealed in front of you. Wow.
And then you pop the top just like a regular can.
Is that expensive equipment?
No, it actually wasn't that cost prohibitive.
Interesting. Talking of equipment, are there brewery industry equipment suppliers here in Pennsylvania as well? Are they benefiting from the growth of the Pennsylvania? In fact, are they benefiting from the national growth of the craft beer industry? Or does most of the equipment come from elsewhere?
Well, what rings a bell to me is I know Micromatic is based right here in, I think they're in Lower Saucon, and they've been around for years. So when I first started brewing in 98 for equipment supplies locally, and it's more draft bar equipment that they sell and specialize in, they were called Draft Services Inc., I think. And I think the local owner here actually sold that to Micromatic, which is now a national firm. But they're pretty much every draft tower you see out there and all the things to hook up a beer keg in a bar situation are all coming out of at least the sales team, I can tell you, is based out of the Lehigh Valley here. As far as large equipment, I'm sure there's some people making some things, but I don't know off the top of my head. I couldn't rattle one off for as far as tanks and stuff.
Yeah, sadly, a lot of our tanks are still coming from overseas.
Because
of the middle market and things.
Mm-hmm.
You have...
Wow.
you have manufacturers that are, you know, overseas, but you have distributors that are here. But I don't know of any specific to Lehigh Valley.
Okay.
In
manufacturing. I do think there's some kegs being produced in the Philadelphia area.
That's true. There are some of those. Yeah.
What about other inputs of raw materials into the brewing industry? Chris, you're the right guy to address that.
Yeah, I'm going to jump at that one. One of the reasons that I made a choice to go to Great Barn Brewery is, well, this is the defining story of who we are. We're part of a large farm complex. There's about 400 acres that they own. And they were a traditional farm. They have two farms in Kempton and where my brewery is located in Kintnersville. They were failing, making, you know, producing corn and, you know, other products that just, you know, is sort of a dying market, unfortunately, in the U.S. And they decided about 3 years ago when they got interested in craft beer to say, hey, why don't we, you know, we see all these breweries popping up, we see all these distillers, let's start, you know, growing our own barley and rye and some wheat and things. And so we've been growing our own product right out of the fields. And then we take that raw, you know, barley bean when it's been grown, and then take it to a malting company who does the final processing, the actual, processing it to make it into brewer's malt. And that's done at a place called Double Eagle, which is down in below Hatboro area. And there's also another company, in Montgomery County, I believe, Deer Creek Malt, that has been making some big waves. I know I've used that malt company before. So, yeah, there's a real good resurgence of locally grown products here.
Deer Creek's in Chester County.
Chester County.
Yeah, Glen Mills.
That's
and,
right.
And we've used them a number of times at Two Rivers. And in fact, we're doing an event with them this Tuesday for Lehigh Valley Beer Week called Malt Mania. We're going to have two beers that were brewed with their malt on. And the last beer is a pale ale, and that was brewed in collaboration with the Hops Homebrewing Club in Western New Jersey, and also the Lehigh Valley Homebrewers. I think Jeff, you've definitely used Deer Creek in the past.
We have. We've done so, and that's been more recently. I'd say within the last year and a half or so, because that did not exist when we first started in the early '90s. It was just the economies of scale. There was no way that they could produce a malt that could be sold. But as craft grew, there's been a demand for ingredients. Hop prices shot up. I think everything's kind of just continued to go up. And, I think then it became realistic that someone could, you know, a company could farm this stuff and produce
and
it for a profit.
It's still tough, though, because, you know, they're producing a product that is probably similar in quality, but you have to pay a premium for. So it's, I think,
yeah, scale they need, isn't they quite
need,
there yet.
Yeah, they need to get to a scale where they can compete on price a little bit better.
But as the industry grows and more people are using it, and keeping more fields.
Absolutely.
In,
and you do
in
have,
farm.
You do have the cachet then, too, of saying it's a local product.
Right.
They will do some special things for you, too. Like they did a smoked malt for us that we did a Rauschbach with this past fall.
Actually, I'm going to jump on from where the plan was. But talking of that and local and then thinking of environmental aspects as well of buying locally, having locally grown materials with lower carbon footprint. Jeff, I noticed one thing that the Fegley's were doing in conjunction with the new Whole Foods store out in Lower Macungie. They're selling a really fine bread that's made with your spent grain malts.
They are, and it's been fun so far working with them and getting those ingredients to them, and of course learning, meeting their team and seeing their bakery team and their excitement in working with our product. And it just goes to show their Whole Foods connection to local. Wegmans also does similar things with local companies, but that I think becomes more and more important. Again, I said that earlier on, is I think local is important, where even these malts, even though they're at the premium, it doesn't mean they're going to sell a ton of those everywhere around the country, but there's a market for it. So if I buy it one time and Troy buys it another time, and then so on and so forth, they'll be able to sustain themselves. And it's sort of that little niche where there is a customer base that will support local, so they're willing to pay the premium, knowing that there's a cost associated with how you got to that final product.
Okay, we will continue that discussion of local and some analogies to the food industry as well right after the next break. We will be back in just a moment.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Till this young man arose and gathered his clothes, saying, "Fare thee well today."
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse, right here on 88.1 WDIY. I'm Bill Dutchmore-Smith, your host for this evening's edition, and we are discussing the burgeoning craft brewing industry here in the Lehigh Valley, going from end to end of the industry. And I'm pleased to have in the studio with me Jeff Egley, Shay McCauley, Troy Raynard, and Chris Bowen. And we're going to pick up where we left off. We just got to talking about using locally grown ingredients in some of the brewing. And I just raised the parallel that the growth of the craft beer industry, I think, has a lot of similarities with the farm-to-table movement. And Chris mentioned his new brewery being farm-to-glass brewery. So lots and lots of parallels. Anyone want to make any comments and the synergy? And I'm sure things like the beer dinners also are part of that synergy.
Well, and I mean, getting back to the local ingredients too, you know, one of the other main ingredients of beer is hops. And we're now starting to see some local hop farms. There's a gentleman outside of Hellertown, his farm's called Wasser Hops. We did a fresh hop beer with his product last year. And then we just met with a farmer, Brian McAtee, yesterday, who is putting in a hop farm up near Bangor, called Holy Cow Farm. And so he'll be able to produce some hops this year. And, you know, like we were saying with the malt, the logistical problems that sometimes, you know, happen with, you know, making these products available and useful to brewers, you know, most of the hops that we use are pelletized. And right now, local hop growers do not have that equipment. But they are starting to get together and collectively buy and share equipment.
So as the overall number of local breweries here grow and the demand for the input materials grows, then that's helping them to scale up and get their products, their output down to a more reasonable price.
Absolutely.
So, Shay, in terms of buying local, you mentioned before a lot of your clients, they're all asking, what are the new local beers?
Sure.
Roughly from what you sell, what fraction would you say was made here in the Lehigh Valley?
If we had inventory to make everybody happy, we'd probably do so much more local than we can. I have over 145 accounts that I see on a regular basis. So to keep all of those accounts in stock of all the local beers that they want, it's a tall order to try and do, especially when you have local breweries that aren't at the large facilities yet. Jeff, you have 15 barrels, mm-hmm. and we still regularly can run out of Fegley's product. It's we don't have the capacity yet in this area to brew on the scale of Sierra Nevada, of Bell's, Dogfish Head. It's just, it'd be great if these guys can get there one day. I'd love to keep selling their beer to everybody. I mean, we could dominate it.
So your message is there is scope for all the new brewers coming online, that we aren't saturating the market yet by a long way. That's good news.
Shay, how many of our local breweries do you guys represent?
In Shengi's portfolio, we have Funk, Soul, Hijinx, Saucony Creek, Sly Fox, which I always consider local whenever I'm out in the market. Yeah, so those are all
that's our a lot,
top ones.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have your beer yet, Troy.
We're
I keep telling you here,
we're
if I had your beer, I could do
something
with it.
We'll get there.
How much of product from the Lehigh Valley breweries is actually being sold in other states, or outside the Lehigh Valley, and in particular in other states?
I know we have a market down in Philadelphia. As far as outside of the state, I honestly, I don't have all the data for that.
Yeah, so for Fegley's Brew Works, most of our sales are Philadelphia based, but we are also in New Jersey, and it's definitely a different energy in New Jersey. It's a craft market, but not nearly what Pennsylvania is currently, and specifically Philadelphia. Philadelphia is truly, I mean, a beer city without a doubt.
Yep.
So you know, I can't speak for the other local breweries. I know Weyerbacher is in multiple states. But I don't know what the ratio is.
Yeah, Weyerbacher picked up in New York City on a few occasions, I'm pretty sure, and I'm not quite sure of the state.
I think in talking with Chris Wilson, they were in Florida, all the way down to Florida, and then out to Wisconsin. So I was pleasantly surprised to hear that.
Impressive. And talking of good beers spreading to other states, a number of American craft beers are now available in Europe as well, right? And influencing the way beers are being brewed in some of the brewing famous countries, in Britain and in
Germany,
in Belgium, especially. in Germany, in Holland. Quite interesting to see how things have gone backward. Yeah, an industry that has stagnated a little bit certainly in Britain, being revitalized by some new ideas coming in and utilizing American hops in their beers, etc. So it's been a nice two-way exchange of how one industry influences the other, or one area influences the other, and again shows how there's so much collaboration and cooperation.
And you are seeing a lot of collaboration with different breweries, American breweries and European breweries. Weyerbacher just did a collaboration with a brewer from Germany.
Yep,
and Chris, they brewed here and over there.
Yeah, Chris talked about it on Monday night. Yeah. Just in terms of some overall statistics, one or two things I pulled out here, and in terms of where Pennsylvania, not just the Lehigh Valley, but Pennsylvania, in 2015, the economic impact of the craft brewing industry in Pennsylvania was $4.5 billion of economic impact, which placed us second in the nation amongst states. And if you looked at that as a per capita of 21 plus adults, we end up being fourth in the nation. So we're right up there. So it's not just the Californias and the Oregon and the Colorado and New York states anymore. We're right, absolutely right up there with them. And in terms of production, 4.06 million barrels have put us first in the nation for 2015 as a state.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable. And we now have 178 craft breweries in PA overall, which puts about eighth in the nation. At least that was in 2015. And that number, 178 in PA, is up from, it was 108 in 2013, so only 2 years before, and 88 in 2011. So the growth we are seeing in the Lehigh Valley here is pretty much representative of what's happening across the state, focused in certain particular areas. But so it's good that we're not way out ahead of the curve. Others are growing at the same rate, and it gives you confidence for the stability of the growth as well, that it's been
a nice steady growth.
Yeah.
And I think with Anheuser-Busch's acquisitions, and then they themselves being bought by a foreign company, it just catapulted the beer world in the United States, because you realize all of a sudden Pennsylvania became a huge producer of American beer. So Yingling specifically, Sam Adams, I mean, they jump right at you and you realize, like, that screams American beer now.
Yeah, it's totally different than it was, right? Totally. I've lost where I was here now.
So, you know, I'm looking at the changes I'm seeing with the large craft as being, specifically if we talk about other large craft, I mean, this isn't PA, but look at what Dogfish has done. Look at what Trogs has done and Victory, you know, I think Victory is in every state at this point. And they helped transform the perception of a hoppy beer. I mean, you look back at Victory Hop Devil and you say that changed the country. I can go back to when I was brewing early on and my friend from Germany came to visit, and here locally in the valley, he said, well, you know, what's American beer? You know, we all know Budweiser. That's what he said to me back then. I said, well, let's go to a bar. I'll show you some craft. We went to the Tally Ho Tavern and I ordered him a Victory Hop Devil, and the look on his face when he drank that beer was priceless, because it was, you know, what is this? This is not beer. And now we're seeing that, you know, that American product that's the perception in the world now is slowly getting there where it's not about the traditional balance of a beer. It's now a different type of balance where you kind of want one ingredient kind of forward a little bit and gives every different experience with every different beer. You know, it's a unique one.
Yep, there's a lot more diversity here than there typically is in any one country.
What I've experienced in my, you know, travels and specifically speaking in Europe about beer is that, you know, at first they laughed at us, and then they respected us, and now they're duplicating us or replicating our styles.
And so that's the best form of respect, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
And so, now opening up sales abroad for U.S. craft beers, which is absolutely great. We did mention the big companies, and I know a number of craft breweries, obviously with the big brewers seeing their market share dwindling, have been buying up some of the smaller breweries or some of the craft breweries. Ballast Point got bought for a fortune, I think, last year, right? Mm. And Southern Tier, are they sort of bought?
No, Southern Tier merged. And Victory merged. So they, you know, kind of pooled their resources so they could streamline their operation and get better deals on, but, you know, with mass buying. Okay.
But they're still basically independent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And is anyone in the Lehigh Valley in danger of being, I say in danger, but maybe some people might want to be taken over, but I don't think we have any at this stage that are in danger of being.
I've had nobody from InBev knock on my door.
Not yet. I think a good cohesiveness is the guild to sort of keep that together without
need to being taken over. Look, we got to mention the local market and the farm to table movement and parallels. If anyone wants to jump in and say anything, we have about just less than 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been our whole food concept at Two Rivers is a farm to table model. And that was very successful, and that, you know, sustained us as a restaurant before we got the beer. And now the beer just added to that. And I know Jeff's done a lot with that at Brewworks as well.
Yeah. And I think the craft, again, going back to craft beer places, that fits in right in line with the, you know, that their food cuisine tends to always be that way. How do you connect with that farm to table, you know, buy fresh, buy local, all that stuff is very big. I mean, and I still think it originated in the West Coast. I mean, I think California, Colorado, they led the way in the farm to table, but it's made its way back. I mean, my brother had moved to Boulder years ago, and I think he lived there for a few years. When he came back, you know, his push was 100%. You know, we're going to transform our menu to be more farm to table, and we did. I mean, over the course of years, we've gotten more and more.
And one market is now feeding off the other. Each one's bootstrapping the other up. It seems.
I think Chris can probably speak to also. I mean, I think beer is probably of alcoholic beverages the most compatible with food.
Absolutely, because of all the different flavors and, you know, things. But, I think historically, farm to table is really the traditional way things were done.
Right.
So we're really not really reinventing anything. We're just rediscovering, like, yeah, a lot of things.
Reestablishing values, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Back, in the 18th century, when the Lehigh Valley was kind of getting put on the map, a farmer had to be a brewer had to be a farmer, had to build, you know, keep his own livestock, which he then ate and processed. Nothing went to waste. So we're just making a new full circle in that. But it's great to see. It really is. Because for a while there, we were definitely a throwaway, economy without regard to the environment or to, reusing and recycling. So
right.
I really am excited about that.
So the craft brewery movement is really paying its part in this overall sustainability movement.
I think
movement,
it tastes right? better, too.
And my great-grandfather was a potato farmer in Germansville who also made Applejack very proficiently.
So you have the background.
It's a family tradition.
We've always, as humans, we've always been making alcohol.
Okay, Shay, we briefly touched on the law changes. Anything you'd like to say how the relaxed wholesale and retail laws are affecting a major distributor like yourselves? Is that good for business? Bad for business?
I think the answer differs depending which distributor we're looking at. This law change overall is very big. It's affecting a lot of people's livelihoods. A lot of family-run distributors who may not have been prepared for something like this with an inventory system or a newer cash register. There's a lot of struggles that's coming along with this for some people, as well as a lot of bigger distributors who were ready for this and are really jumping in both feet, going for it. So it's a balance.
But Shangiz, you're going for it and embracing the more relaxed regulations.
As far as I know, that's his plan. I don't spend a lot of time at the retail store. I'm out in my car a lot, so I get to see a lot of the rest of the county. But I do know that we're going for it.
And Shangiz are expanding, I believe, right? You're adding more facilities.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's what we're doing out there. So.
So the bottom line is it looks like it's good for you and the overall growth, even though you've got competitors out there.
It looks good, and I think it's exciting for the consumer. They're going to be able to try a lot more variety that maybe they weren't able to get to before.
Yep, I certainly benefit from that and appreciate it. Absolutely. We are almost running out of time, so let's just have a few words about Lehigh Valley Beer Week, which begins this coming Saturday. If you're listening, you'd like to hear more about Beer Week. We did cover it on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, and Chris, who's here tonight, was one of the guests then. That is available on the WDIY site, so if you just head over to wdiy.org, you can listen to that as a listen on demand. But let's just quickly mention Beer Festival. Beer Week begins this coming Saturday. Chris?
Sure. The Beer Week is the 18th to the 25th. To find out more information, go to LehighValleyBeerWeek.com. We're all over social media, especially right now, because we keep adding on a daily basis new events. We're up over 150 events, beer-centric events throughout the Lehigh Valley, about 70 different venues. Every craft brewer in the Lehigh Valley is participating, and some from some local areas outside of the area. But it's really going to be great. It's going to kick off Saturday. There's even some events on Friday, but kick off Saturday at Weyerbacher at noon. They're going to be drinking the Guilty Pleasure, which the Brewers Group had prepared for. And then events go all the way through to next Saturday, finishing with Troy's, not finishing, but you have a...
the Mardi Crawl, Mardi Crawl pub crawl.
Which is always a lot of fun.
Right, that's on the final Saturday. Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd love to encourage people to check out the Guilty Pleasure. It really is a really good Belgian pale ale and planned by all the brewers in Lehigh Valley. I think it really showcases us.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I will vouch for that. I got to have a pre-taste of it on Monday night, and it was outstanding. And that's being tapped at noon on Saturday, right?
Noon on Saturday at Weyerbacher. So you can come out and get it for the first time there, or it's at venues all over the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. So go find a bar near you that is serving guilty pleasure.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here evening.
Thank you
so much for having on. Our time is running out. And if you're listening and enjoy good beer, don't miss going to at least a number of events next week. You won't be disappointed. Thanks for listening. This was Lehigh Valley Discourse on 88.1 WDIY.